This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Hey Harry, do you want to talk about politics?
Must I? If I must, I certainly will. Thank you for having me.
Hi everyone, you're listening to Thoughts and Theories on ORFM, where I'll delve deeper into the meanings and messages of films, books, TV shows, and more. I'm Asha Amma Asri, and let's get into it. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Thoughts and Theories. Today I am joined with my friend, Harry. Hey Harry.
Hey Asha.
How are you doing today?
Oh brilliant, what a wonderful day it was about 5 minutes ago until it started raining just as I got on my bike.
Yeah, oh my god, Dunedin weather has been crazy these days.
It's bipolar weather, I always say it, but nothing would stop me from being here to talk to you about this, Asha.
Harry, thank you so much, bro. But no, seriously though, last night started snowing in certain parts of Dunedin, and
Oh, goodness, yes.
It didn't even snow in winter.
Up at the hill, yes.
Yeah, oh my gosh, it's crazy.
But how rude of myself. The listeners, they don't know who I am.
Yes.
I must introduce myself.
Of course, tell us about yourself, Harry.
So my name is Harry Stephen Mathurikielmi, but you can call me Harry. I have just finished, I've not received my grades or my graduation, but I've just finished my 3 years studying for a Bachelor of Arts in Theatre and History.
Hell yeah.
I'm somewhat of a local. I've lived here for about 8 years, so I'm basically a local student. And a few weeks ago, perhaps even a month now, I concluded my campaign to be your OUSA political rep and academic rep. My tragically unsuccessful campaign, but it did occur.
Hey, you put yourself out there.
They put themselves out there. Yeah, you got it.
Oh my god, I'm very proud of you for putting yourself out there,
because
I've never had anyone I knew who ran.
Mm.
So it was such a like a little local celebrity experience where I was like, oh my god, I know that guy.
Yes. I remember someone, one person, but always at every stage of the campaign, it was almost overwhelmingly flattering. One person said, yes, they posted on my social media, let's get a theatre kid on the executive. And I was like, yeah, I suppose so.
Hey, theatre kid representation. I love that.
Oh, you're telling me. Well, you go into the critic office, you go into the OUSA executive office. Poll students. They're all poll students.
I know, right?
Every single one of them.
Yeah. So it's good to have like a little bit of variety. And I'm glad you ran.
Mm.
How many people ran in total?
Oh, and this is a rather pertinent question for the campaign as a whole. I don't know the exact number, mm-hmm. but it was far more than usual. This election was not boring. Previous
right.
elections were boring. That's the thing that typified OUSA exec elections.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, an exec election, only one person will run for any position. So
okay.
there's no competition. They'll get it by default. So like, actually 40 people will vote for them. This time was competitive. The role of president, only one person ran for it last time. Two people this time.
Wow.
The role of AVP, three people. Mm. Polls rep, three people. I believe only one role this time had one person run for it. And that's unheard of in recent years.
So it looks like the political climate of today's age is like really getting students to be like, you know what, I feel like I need to do something about this. So in a sense, it's a good thing.
Good, yeah, exactly. That's precisely how I feel about it. It was an extremely positive thing that it was competitive.
That's great. The student life is a little bit falling apart, but that's what breeds good ground for politics.
Exactly. A lot of the candidates, and we can talk about this in more detail later, were sort of complaining behind the scenes, oh, this race is very divisive. This race
right.
is maybe a little bit toxic or like mudslingy. But I kept saying to them, I kept trying to reassure them that we as candidates kind of sacrifice ourselves at the altar of a good race.
Mm-hmm.
People, we might have felt anxious or stressed behind the scenes, but the students who matter were like, finally,
yes.
options. And that's the proof is in the food, in the recipe, my friend, because the turnout practically doubled on last year.
Ah, that is so, so awesome to hear, seriously. Because there's so many times where you'd like want to talk about something like this, but a lot of students actually don't know what's going on. So I'm assuming there would be quite a bit of listeners, as myself, before you started running as well, like not quite as informed. So first, there's an there was an election for executive members for OUSA 2026, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So OUSA, what services exactly do they offer? And, like, why is it important?
OUSA, I think the fact that a lot of people, including myself going into the campaign, aren't exactly clear on what services they offer is actually why it is so important. We don't notice it's there, but we would notice it was if it was gone. So OUSA makes practical benefits for our day-to-day lives. Those clubs and socks buildings that we book out a lot as theatre students,
yes.
They operate that. That's the union building. There's not many unions with a building as big as that. They've also been working on those free school meals, and advocacy is another key point. Each member of the executive has almost a special responsibility for advocacy. So as a critic contributor, I reported on Stella Lynch advocating for a recordings policy across the university for lectures. And the current but outgoing political rep Jack Krasinski writes submissions on behalf of the student body, you know, submissions on parliamentary bills and whatnot. So those are just a few examples of the practical benefits they make for a life. Those cheap meals administered through
meals, right?
Yes. The amount of money students save because of those, putting aside, of course, the fact the vending machine is there, is slightly cheaper.
That is true.
Key thing that.
If you're a true local, you truly understand where to find the best vending machines and things.
Sorry, just to list off a few ones. Student support services, and also OUSA does employ students. It does employ students through the Capping Show, The Critic, and O-Week.
Right.
And Beer Fest.
Right. And everyone would know The Critic, right? Mm. Everything is all very helpful for the student life and things like that.
Mm.
So it's very important for these services to keep running.
Mm.
So the student charter, like the executive elections, you named a few positions before. So how would the student voice impact these like services? Like, how much power do we actually have?
We have as much power as we take during these elections. Turnout is tragically low. One of the talking points that I engage during that election is how to get engagement up. So we have a voice in electing those positions. We do have a major consultative voice. So those positions are responsible to students, no one else. Mm-hmm. So if you walk in through their offices, they will privilege student voices more than others. But it's more like a representative democracy than a direct democracy. Okay. There are SGMs in exceptional circumstances, but once elected, the OUSA executive does function a lot more like a cabinet in a Westminster democracy, where they are responsible. At the end of the day, if something goes wrong, they are responsible. So they have to take their own decisions, which does mean listening to students and consulting with students, but making their own decisions at the end of the day. That's my view at the very least.
Right. Okay. So when you first started to run for these positions, what gave you the idea? Because as you said previously, it was like boring. Was that part of your inspiration to do so?
Osha can't see this, but you all can't see this, but I'm sort of cracking up. It's a long-winded and embarrassing story. So
do tell.
The reason it became less boring is because this year, anyone who's picked up The Critic knows that student politics has become a lot more divisive this year. There's been a lot more contention within the executive. There's been a lot more discussion amongst the community. I suppose, again, we talk about sacrificing at the altar. If we aren't having sort of angry arguments, what's politics about? It does sort of, if we don't have disagreements,
that is true.
What's the point?
I mean, the whole point is to see the different views of different people, right?
Exactly. But to answer your question, I did what all good politicians who run do. I unequivocally ruled myself out of running. I went around, like a week beforehand, I was going around saying, I'm not going to run.
Right.
Because the OUSA executive, everyone knew it was like a... And you could imagine yourself in that working environment and you'd feel like it was just leaking out onto The Critic. It was a toxic, stressed, argumentative, not getting things done work environment. But then one day, the day before the election, I sort of thought to myself, screw it, you know?
Hell yeah,
screw
I love that.
I'm going to go for the positions that I think are going to be the hardest to get, but I'm not going to be cowardly and go for the ones that I think are going to be easy to get. Mm-hmm. And when... That's the spirit I hope a lot of people take, because I was annoyed that the OUSA executive had been distracted by internal strife and I wanted to get in the room and do something about it.
I love that mentality. That is awesome, Harry.
Yes.
We need more like grit like that, you know, to represent the students,
yes.
you know, and things like that. Because I think a lot of the time students sort of get walked all over because there's, I think we as students don't really know sometimes like what power we actually do have. Mm. So to have like a representative to be like, hey, this is what we can do. So let's all like rise up and come together to do it. You once said one of your like, I guess, policies or like your sayings is modest gains is better than massive disappointment.
Yes, yes.
So could you expand more on what you mean by that?
That was, again, that links into a massive part of the campaign. So there was the forum. The forum, I think, was my best performance in the campaign because it was just get your body in the room and perform, which as a theatre student I can do, and give well-reasoned, articulate answers. But the major point of disagreement between myself and the other key candidates, Flynn Nisbet and Fergus Parks, was about the fees-free policy.
Nice.
That was to say, especially Flynn, a very respectable position. They were hearkening back to the 2017 Labour policy, where 2017 Labour promised to extend fees-free over 3 years.
Yes.
Probably, in hindsight, an implausible promise. Mm-hmm. They delivered 1 year's fees-free. I and a lot of people forgot about that promise because we were content with things as it was.
Yeah.
So I suppose, as I'm sure a lot of other people feel, I come from almost a political generation where a lot of political parties will overpromise and you feel a bit disillusioned. You think you're just trying to bribe my vote. You're promising the sky to win votes. What are you actually able to achieve? So that did become a bit of my motto, because there were other elements in the campaign, but understandably, the critic you'll see in the article picked up that I think the phrase was fees free. Flynn says it's reasonable. Harry doesn't. Over to the students to decide.
Right.
And because of that, the campaign became a lot about fees free.
Yeah.
So a lot of my campaigning was drawn into that for good reason. But that's. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, yeah, modest gains better than massive disappointment.
That is true. I do agree with that, because it's better to take small steps forward rather than take one massive leap and then fall into a ditch.
Yeah, sloganeering is always a bit, people take it the way it will. I try and characterize it insofar as there are some people in life who will think I'm going to win the Olympics tomorrow, and if they don't, they crash out, they throw up their toys and they say I'm never going to do it again. And then there are people who go, I ran 18 minutes last week for the 100 meters or something or other. This week I ran 17. I think that's it's not taking that for granted.
Yes, yes. That is awesome. Gosh, you're so well-spoken, Harry. Oh,
yeah, thank you. You do flatter me. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry.
I don't blush.
This is a problem for me having my friends on air, because I can't like be serious at all.
I don't know. I'll be serious for the both of us. Yes.
So to add on to what we were talking on before, so you said fees-free sort of became like you unintentionally, you know, became a little bit more enwrapped into it.
Yeah.
But before that happened and things, what were the focuses on student life that you were worried about that you could hope that you wanted to improve on? Because I know there was some talk about Albany Street and the crosswalks there.
Yes. So, I mean, it's not totally unrelated. I feel like my position was one where I did want to be in tune with student practical material needs, but also be leading, not sort of a leader will often stand up and say, I must lead. I have to follow the public will. It's a contradiction in terms. So my two key concerns were bus fee hikes.
Yeah,
this kind of, I don't want to slag off student politics too much, but I suppose student politics occurred and I was the only one I can recall speaking about bus free hikes. And any time you went to OUSA over this year, you'd see that document saying your bus fees are going to go up. And that was something I was concerned about. That's something I wanted to work with the new council on. Then there was Albany Street. I was introduced to Albany Street during the local elections. A big part of campaign, you do learn a lot more issues than you entered with.
Right, yeah.
And the issue, as far as I could see, is that there was a plan to have a pedestrian crossing, bike lane and disability access, and that the council and local businesses had essentially killed it over a bike lane. And I'm sure, as you know, I cycle. I cycle a lot. Not only do I cycle, I cycle down Albany Street and then turn left into my house. Mm-hmm. And I've been on Albany Street day after day after day. I'll go on Albany Street on the way back, and it's not unsafe. I don't necessarily feel it needs a bike lane.
Right.
So my pitch was essentially that if I became political rep, I would be willing to compromise on a bike lane. Uh-huh. So we're going to see how that goes, because there's a new council elected. Albany Street sort of hangs in the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was my perspective on Albany Street.
That actually leads me on to perfectly to the next question.
Yeah.
As you mentioned in the beginning, you unfortunately didn't succeed.
Yes.
Which is fine. Mm. You know, I'm glad you put yourself out there. Mm. But now that the executive team has been sorted and things like that, going into 2026, what are you hoping that they will do, like, other than like Albany seeing through with that? What else do you hope that they will succeed on?
Oh, this is the point where many a political candidate would go into their great ideological rant about principles and values and wishy-washy things that aren't really tangible. Uh-huh. So I don't want to put like a massive onus on. I don't want to put like a massive responsibility on their shoulders. Unfortunately, as opposed to other elected offices, they only have a year and they can run for re-election. But when you're in for a year, imagine a year in your mind. Mm-hmm. How much time you plan for all your great visions, but stuff happens.
Yeah.
And then that takes up a lot of time. You'll save a lot of time by not fighting each other constantly. But I suppose the first thing I'd say is that with a year, you have the responsibility of just good stewardship. And that's not glamorous. That's not great. But if by the end of next year, they've not cut anything with the current financial straits OUSA is in, that will be an accomplishment. The other thing is, it's an election year. And I have a lot of respect for Jack Krasinski. I do appreciate him a lot as a person. You take people how you find them in life.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad that next year the political rep will not be an endorsed candidate by a political party, that being the Labour Party, because a lot of people, because I said I ruled myself out of running, but then people convinced me to run.
Yes.
I decided. I took the decision, but I did have advice.
Yes.
Because one of the things were people were kind of a bit put off by the fact that the political rep was a card-carrying member of the Labour Party.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think OUSA doesn't have a responsibility to be politically neutral. It has a responsibility to be politically independent moving into that election.
Right.
And to be a bit ruthless. I mean, deals are there to be made during a general election. It's not the time to be picky with who's giving you the lollipop.
Right. So just to expand on that.
Yeah.
Politically independent means like not being endorsed by any of the parties, and you just as yourself?
You can work with other political parties. Mm-hmm. It's more just like, I suppose if we're politically neutral, we're sort of hiding in a closet, we don't want to be seen to be endorsing a position. Whereas what I'm saying is OUSA must take a position that is not Labour, National, New Zealand First. It is OUSA's position, an independent voice. They're a union, they're a union. They'll get something for us.
Actually, when you phrase it like that, that does make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Like, because you'd understand as well with the parties, like university is literally the place for them to come and get like their new votes and things like that, right? But OUSA has a responsibility to make sure to put the students first and not, I don't know how to phrase it, but as you say,
not sort of like an extraneous ideological impulse from adults.
External, adultier adults.
The professional class.
Yes, you actually. Yeah, I read that in your Q&A. You said that your fourth priority was political independence as a candidate.
Mm.
That's great.
Yeah,
actually. I have to cross that off. You're doing great.
But to just segue from that, that does relate me into another reason. Because here's my other little insider knowledge. The critic printed on their magazine, and I take no onus and I'll say why, that Harry Almy was in the race because he was, quote unquote, angry about the state of politics. I never said that. I never actually was quoted as saying that. But I have worked with the critic this year, so they have reason to think that. They know what I think. And part of what I think is students need to get engaged.
Yes.
A lot of students have two very strange positions. The first is politics does not reflect what I'm going to do, so I'm not going to vote. If you're not inside, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Right.
It's as simple as that. You know, a lot of committees will be chaired by those dusty old white people who are divorced from your perspectives because you're actively choosing to not be there.
Right.
The other one is politics is not to my liking as it is. So I'm not only not going to engage, but I'm going to make an active effort to essentially throw things at them and say, what do we want? Everything. When do we want it? Now. A very unhelpful position, I think.
No, I think it's great because you're sort of like forcing them into like, you know, it's like you said, you're throwing things at them so that they can like, you know, stop looking down and look up and see what people actually want.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Yeah.
That actually leads in perfectly into my other question, which I can, if I could just...
Yeah, wish students would vote more. That's the short and sweet of it.
Yeah. A lot of people would say that they don't vote because they're really unaware of, like, what's going on and things like that. Mm. And sometimes they're ashamed to ask for help. And by help, or I mean, like, ask for, like, knowledge and, like, where to go and pointers and things like that. So for those of us who don't really know about the current situation when it comes to whether in real life politics or just the student OUSA ones, where would you point them to in order to start gaining their knowledge?
I have to be careful with this answer because I do value sort of political neutrality in that. Mm-hmm. And I do, from any side
Sorry
of the spectrum.
Sorry to put you in a difficult
spot. No. It's not difficult. It's just something that's worth sort of taking seriously. Mm-hmm. I think it's worth just talking with your community. A political movement is essentially a community. And if it's a legitimate community, it's one that will not bite your head off for having a different opinion.
Right.
I've had a lot of fun this year talking to politicians. I've sat down for a coffee with Rachel Brooking. I've had a lovely conversation with Steve Walker. I've met Jack Grzynski. And even if I've disagreed with them on things and I've agreed with them on others, unfortunately, the internet is the internet and it causes essentially hate.
Yeah.
I think if you just talk to people and if because the political parties are very active on campus and they go, if you went up to a stall and just had a conversation with them, I think you will gain an insight. Unfortunately, though, at the end of the day, politics is basically vibes. So it's not a thing to be ashamed of if you don't know all the facts and figures. That's for us nerdy folk.
Right, yeah. Have you ever considered outside of uni that you'd go into politics?
I have on occasion, but and most people, it's the classic story of people, I talk too much about politics, or my mates say, go away and go do it. So I don't have to listen to you. Politics is a funny business, though. There's not exactly a job application, unless you're the leader of the Opportunities Party, and then the leadership is on link is being advertised as a job. What an unserious group.
Oh my God, I love that. All right, so we're starting to get into halftime.
Lovely.
So for those of you listening live, you will be listening to "There Is Power in a Union" by Billy Bragg. This was chosen by Harry. So, Harry, tell us why. Why did you choose such a song?
Billy Bragg is music god for the union movement from the 80s to the modern times with Palestine. I'd be quite embarrassed if I was some militant socialist who'd never heard of Billy Bragg. You ask me why I picked it. The readership, they'll hear the words and they'll understand.
100%. All right. With that being said, I hope you guys enjoy and I'll see you in a bit. And welcome welcome back, guys. Ooh. I hope you enjoyed that song.
Yes. Power to the unions.
Hell yeah. All right. So we've had a pretty heavy start to the – well, not heavy. I mean like pretty full-on, full-packed start to the episode. Now coming into the second part, I'd think, you know, we'd start to slow down and things like that. I wanted to ask – how it was like, you know, with you running with the other candidates and stuff. Tell me more about them and what it was like working with them and, you know.
Yeah. So, this does relate somewhat to regrets in hindsight. My decision to run was very last minute. I was busy with the last bit of my assessments and the show Lords and Ladies. So, unfortunately, I would have liked to have spent more time with the other candidates and perhaps ticket with other ones. But I did have the lovely opportunity to make some time to meet other candidates, and they were lovely. I do have immense respect for the ones I did meet. There was Dominic, who unfortunately failed to become the finance person, but he's big in Pulsar. There was Kamisha, who is lovely and incredible, and she's with Tramping Club, and she will be our AVP next time around.
And AVP is?
Administrative Vice President, basically the deputy to the president.
Oh, nice.
Sam Smith Soppert is just a legend. He's so much fun. He did unfortunately fail to become AVP. Daniel Leamy is going to be an incredible president next time round. He is
Daniel
my full confidence. He was the finance officer this year and the only actual 2025 OUSA executive member who was carrying on until 2026. Fergus Park is very funny, and I do respect his, you know, all those posters around campus saying Jet is controlling us and stuff.
Yes, the black and white one.
That was him. So he was definitely into the politics. I didn't have the opportunity to meet Liam White throughout the campaign, really. I sort of said hi to him once or twice. And Troy Gibbons I need to meet on one occasion. He is the next year's finance person. Ella Mary is incredible. And Irfan, what a gentleman.
Yes, I've met Irfan. He's so nice.
Yeah. And definite proof that different political stances is not a prerequisite to having just a delightful, respectful conversation. And then, of course, the man, also Hansini, who ran for academic representative and who I also didn't have the opportunity to meet. And then the man who defeated me to the post, Flynn Nisbet at the political rep. Who I caught a coffee with afterwards and who was a delightful person who was my full confidence next year.
That is awesome. Oh, my God. I'm so glad that you kept a good relationship with the others, because I was very scared. I think a lot of people are scared, especially with how, I guess, exciting you could say this election was.
Yes, exciting. Courageous.
Yeah. So I was very scared that there would be like some internal strife between people running, you know, against each other and things like that. So I'm happy to hear that there wasn't really as much.
No, I could only speak for myself.
Right.
And me and Flynn did spend a lot of time. I'm sorry. Afterwards, we were very lovely.
Absolutely.
As I try to explain to him, I feel like politics at the end of the day is like sports, where you're on opposing teams, you kind of elbow each other a cheeky few times, you get a bit mad and sort of vimmed up on the field, but afterwards you get a drink of water and you go, good game.
Yeah,
you know,
handshake.
you can be a little bit mudslingy in the campaign, but it's all fun and games.
So you said before, in hindsight, there were a few regrets and things like that, such as you not having enough time because of Lords and Ladies and things like that.
Yeah.
So if you were to run again, would you like campaign for longer or things like that? Like, what would you do differently?
I think it would be essentially saying at the start of the year, I am going to campaign at the end of the year, because there's the election in quotation marks, and then there's the election. A lot of people almost start campaigning in politics before the election nominally begins.
Oh, okay.
I would definitely give myself more time. I would definitely have a much more clearly articulated policy platform. Though, as I said, it's hard with regrets, Asha, because when you think backwards, it's sometimes wishful thinking. There's a reason it happened in the moment. Like I said with The Critic, in an ideal world, I would have liked the election to be about bus fee hikes, but that's not an election.
Yes.
An election is not two people standing up and saying, we're both concerned about, like I say, I'm concerned about bus fee hikes, and then Flynn says, I haven't heard about that, but I'm concerned now. It's about disagreement. So there's a reason it became about fees free.
Right.
Because I'm very proud of my results, because I did not go to any lectures to make a speech. I did not go to halls to make speeches. All the other candidates did. And I came second in political race.
That is actually something to brag about. That is awesome.
brag, I say flusteredly. But I'm not sure how much I would have done, like to have done speeches, because definitely at lectures, I feel like every time someone else made a speech at a lecture, I won a vote, because I can imagine they got very annoyed during exam season getting sort of canvassed.
Right. Yeah. I can understand how that would, you know, sort of make people a little bit iffy.
Yes.
You once said, you're a history student, right?
Yes.
So you once said that history speaks to us, we only have to listen, which I actually, that really spoke to me and I really liked that. Could you expand more on what you meant by that? Because you said it in an interview.
There's another phrase that I love my phrases. So I'll counter back with a phrase. So this is a little bit complicated. In 1980 in the United Kingdom, there was this great big debate about the direction the Labour Party should take. Margaret Thatcher was in power. They'd just been defeated. Do we go way to the left or way to the right? Because there was, you know, Michael Joseph Savage?
Yes,
the great sort of he sort of god to the Labour Party, sort of did all the NHS stuff. So I up got Michael Foot and he said, all we have to do is do what Clement Attlee did. He was Britain's Michael Joseph Savage. He was sort of god. He nationalised everything. He did all the things. And then up got Eric Hobsbawm and said, we're in 1980. We can't go back to 1945. The issues that so when I say history speaks to us, we have to listen to it, but kind of moderate it with the present.
Yes.
Unfortunately, for many people with nostalgia and disagreements with the present, there's an impulse to say all we have to do is return to our roots.
Right.
But that far back, the roots aren't there. But you can take lessons. You can take lessons from their failures and their successes, and you can move forward, because the past is the history of our nation. We take lessons from the history of our own lives. Mm-hmm, we can look backwards.
Yeah. So there's like a sort of like balance that you have to keep, right? You can't look back too much and you can't look forward too
much.
Absolutely. You need to take in both so that you can manage the present, as you said, right?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Love that. So sorry to laugh, but when you lost the election.
Sorry to laugh. Yeah, no, you're getting on.
You can't look at me like that. I'm sorry. You said losing is part of politics and you're not bothered, right? So with the whole like results of it, were you surprised that you lost, or were you surprised that you got second place? Like with the whole ending part of it, like,
to tell you the truth, the race was a really emotional turbulence, because you do have to grapple with the at times the inevitability of defeat and other times the possibility of winning. And I'm not sure which one is more scary, because I went into it, I thought, because people were telling me that there were going to be six candidates, all would be really well known and I'd have no chance.
Right.
Then I got in and there were three and I went, maybe I have a chance.
Right.
Then Flynn Nisbet, there's a reason he won at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. He has campaign experience. He caucused with the incumbent president. He had a lot more free time. I didn't skip any lectures. delightful chap he is.
He was all in.
Yeah, no, he was an all in, and I was all in, but I had a bandwidth. So yeah.
To be fair, you had a lot going on. Like for those who don't do theatre, you were doing Lords and Ladies at the time, and you were also in Hazel's piece. Something Straight Boys. I forgot the exact
You'll
title.
Notice all of my political posts are done at like 11 p.m. after when I got home. So, yeah, the evidence, the proof is in the pudding. But at the end of the day, I think I went into the election thinking I cannot win. I'm going to be almost like a kamikaze candidate, where I'm going to very honest and I'm going to bomb everyone who's being cynical. But then at the end of the day, and this is what I have to say, because hundreds of people voted for me, I did want it. I did think I was going to win. I was disappointed, but that's life.
I love that. You've got such a positive attitude. And you took it with a lot of grace as well. And I think a lot of other people would benefit if we sort of approach life in sort of a similar manner.
Yeah. Well, there were the local elections recently, and a lot of people were sour grapes around that. There was a lot of kororo about how if this was first past the post, I would have won. And it's like people vote differently under different political systems. You've just got to take the loss with a bit of dignity and respect.
Yeah.
There's always next time around. You did your best.
Right. Speaking of next time around, are you continuing your study? You are?
Yeah, no, I'm considering my study options next year.
Okay, sweet. Yeah. No, because I wanted to know if there was a chance to do it again, would you?
It really depends. Again,
with the climate, when it
when it happened, it was very off the cuff. Uh-huh. So again, if I say I'm ruling myself out now, I shall end up doing it. Although, on the other hand, when you lose at two things twice, it's done.
Right.
That's sort of time to leave. I think at the moment, it'd be doubtful if I'd be in Dunedin in 2027. I think I'm in Dunedin for 2026, so I'm not planning to run again.
Okay, awesome. That's just good to know.
Yeah.
Actually, you going to run off the cuff is so funny because it reminds me of my own experience.
Oh, really?
Where I obviously never ran for OUSA or anything like that, but there's one of the clubs is the Malaysian Student Society, they were running for as executive members for 2026, and I was never going to run, but anyone who knew me knew I had a lot of things to say.
Yeah.
So somehow or other, I ended up being tricked into I got nominated.
Tricked.
I was nominated into, so I did a speech and I did it. And now I'm the activity officer for 2026.
Delightful.
Thank you. But so I hope to do some, like, it's not that I didn't want it. I was just very surprised at how things ended up happening because it was a decision made within like 2 days.
Yeah.
I'm very happy to have gotten it, even though it was a surprise. And I can't wait to, you know, see what the club has to offer next year and what I can say to help out and things like that. But what I'm trying to get at is I totally understand when you're saying, I'm not doing it.
What? I'm doing it.
It's exactly like those Disney Channel shows. I'm not driving you. I'm not. And then cut to the
yeah, that's incredible. But yeah, I'm very glad to hear that about you and your role in an OUSA club. It's one of my key values that the OUSA Executive Privilege registered clubs.
Thank you. Yeah, awesome. That is great.
Give them the priority.
I love that. I love that so much. All right. I am running down to the last few questions. Where was I? Oh, yes. Okay. So you said you were a little bit unsure on if you would go into politics in real life because that's sort of a little bit more uncertain and things like that. So there are some people out there who sort of think that students are, you know, stupid or uninformed or who, you know, doesn't really know much and shouldn't really have as much of a say as we do.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, it's a two-pronged question.
Yeah.
One, why do you think some adultier adults think that way? And what should we do to change that?
I think adultier adults, they show up sometimes to sort of student rallies and come away with that perspective because they attend events organized by certain groups that they disagree with and think they characterize the whole student body as belonging to what they consider, that they consider to be unrealistic, demagoguish, sort of essentially adults don't vote for the Green Party as much as as the rest of the politician in the simplest terms. But that was not my experience in the executive election.
Really?
Okay. A lot of people there was some talk in the executive election that because I was not taking the most leftmost perspective that I was somehow unprincipled.
Right.
But a lot of people who I talk to day to day about their issues were very nuanced in their perspectives. One of my posts, I'm sure you noticed, was a survey regarding fees free. And one person really, really stuck with me. They said they loved the notion of fees free, but they're graduating next year. They're going to become a doctor and the health system needs the money.
That is true. One person said, "Yeah, I don't think that could happen because obviously I'm paraphrasing, but I don't think that can happen. We can't even fund a hospital."
That was hilarious.
And I was like, "Oh my god!"
I think adults think that because of the performance of politics, which often is sort of communicating to our own side. But if they come and talk to us about our material needs, students are human beings. They have dignity, human material needs. Just because they're shorter and younger than you doesn't mean they're dafter than you. And most adults will have life experience, but it's not like each adult is an economist.
Right.
You know, we've all got our human dignity. Let's sort it out.
God, you're so passionate. When you first, discovered about, you know, you have a voice and you can do something like about it, like you can use that voice for good and for representing people. Do you know what age you were when you first started to be more like more aware of your surroundings?
God, it does start a little bit young. Mm-hmm. And again, this does loop back to my great offence at being called unprincipled, because at a young age, so I was raised, I sort of came to my maturity in Dunedin, but I was raised in Tauranga, deep blue Tauranga. And I can't pretend that hasn't coloured my life in some ways, but when you're having rows with your best friends about trans rights and you're kind of sticking up for trans rights in Tauranga of all places.
Yeah.
You have principles. Yeah. When you're very angry towards this current coalition government for its weird, quibbly, sort of anti-trans, anti-LGBT agenda, you have principles. You get angry.
Yeah, it's these emotions that sort of like create like grit and things like that, right? Because you have to, what is it? Like, you have to have strong emotional response to something in order to be incited to say something, you know?
You have to, it's like turning on the car. There has to be some fuel in the ignition. There's another anecdote regarding grit that I to talk about. There's a picture of in the Dunedin Hospital March of me in the ODT.
Oh.
It is in there. And that's I think that's the real start. That's the real sort of, oh God, I'm in politics, I can't get out. Because in the march, there was a section of the march that didn't have a megaphone. So we were sort of hearing the call and respond really far away, and it was really half-hearted and pathetic. So I turned to a mate of mine and sort of half-jokingly said, oh yeah, I could lead the chant. And they said, yeah, why don't you? And I
do it.
for the stretch of George Street from the refurbished part down to the Octagon, I led the chant.
That is awesome.
And the reason, the grit I had, wasn't just because Dunedin had been betrayed by the hospital thing. Mm-hmm. It's because I know a lot of people on campus who voted for the National Party. And they voted for a National Party whose manifesto pledge was not only no cuts to the hospital, but a restoration of Labour's cuts.
Right.
So there's a degree where you say to yourself, I'm actually fighting for everyone here.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's been sold a pack of lies.
Yeah, we've been lied to.
But I can imagine, you can picture yourself. You're a person, you've gone a bit off the Labour Party for some reasons. Mm-hmm. The other option for government is the National Party. Mm-hmm. And you probably think to yourself, this is safe. They're not going to muck around with my hospital. The National Party often does cuts, but my hospital is safe.
Yeah.
I don't have the numbers on me, but it's something like 5,000 people in the city voted for the National Party last election, and they did so on that pledge.
Right. And what a
world.
What a stomach full of disappointment, huh?
Yes.
It's actually devastating, because I know, like, I think this year has got one of the, like, most highest, again, I also don't have the numbers on me, but I think this year has got one of the most highest unemployment rates since COVID.
Yeah.
Which is a crazy thing. Like, what do you mean COVID, where the country got into lockdown, things were a little bit more like in control in terms of like people keeping their jobs than now? Like, we shouldn't be in a situation like this. Like,
it's people's lives. It's not just facts and figures. You, I'm sure you know, Arsh, all you have to do is walk down High Street. I've lived here for long enough. Mm-hmm. 8 years ago, High Street was not sort of built, boarded up. Our Kiwi Saver schemes were not sort of being slashed in two.
Yes, that's another thing as well.
Yes.
People's retirements and stuff. Oh my goodness. I'm starting to get heated up again.
Yes, no. Rouse yourself, aren't you?
No, because I, like, as well with the whole, like, people getting sacked things, because I know people, like, loved ones and stuff like that have been getting sacked for these, like, downsizes and for these reasons stuff. And, like, the whole thing with the hospital, like, that's affecting people's, like, health and, like, Dunedin in general. Oh, my God. Like,
the politics of austerity are silly. And austerity is one of those words that's sort of a bit fluffy. So I'll just, it's penny pinching.
Right.
So at local, I know this to be a fact, at local government buildings, they are just not hiring the necessary staff. They're not raising the pay of the staff who are there. Mm-hmm. So either they're penny pinching or they're just purposely running it into the ground. Shrug.
Yeah. God, I wonder why, eh?
Who knows?
Who knows, yeah. But in case there is anyone who's listening right now who doesn't actually know what's going on, because I do have like a little bit of high schoolers who tune in at times. What is the whole thing with the hospital exactly? If you can,
so the hospital is a bit one of those examples of one of my annoyances in politics from the Labour Party and the National Party, where people go, oh, God, politicians aren't inspiring, and then politicians promise too much and can't deliver.
Yep.
The Labour Party promised a hospital in a certain time frame. It has taken a lot longer.
Yep.
That's evident. There used to be a Cadbury sort of factory over there that's been knocked down. What happened is that the national government came into power, and again, I'm kind of going off memory, so I have to forgive me if I get anything wrong, and they froze the building. So it costs money to freeze the construction, and it costs money to start it again. It's a time waste.
Right.
And because they wanted to find savings. They promised to not find savings. They decided to.
Okay.
And there were two options that Cabinet were going to discuss on. Option one, scrap the whole thing and actually just go back to the old hospital. The reason we can't go back to the old hospital is that it's an old building. It's falling down. In a decade's time, it will be useless, something like that.
Yeah.
The other option was essentially to, I think, downgrade or scrap the outpatient building. So it was essentially an option that they knew wouldn't be good and an option they wanted to do.
Right.
It was kind of like they were threatening us. Okay. They were saying, take this medicine or else the other one. And the discussion was poisonous because they promised us this thing, but then their line was, if we get the full hospital, other hospitals across the nation will be missing out and we would be selfish. It's their decision to defund the health sector in this country. It's their decision to give money to landlords over the hospital sector and tobacco companies over the hospital sector.
Yep.
It's not us being selfish. It is the most patriotic position you could take, that all cities need this. And it's also not a city versus regions thing. It's, again, going back to the traditional national voters. People out in the sticks, out in the regional Otago, they don't have health services. When they fall into a ditch, they get helicoptered here.
Yeah.
That is a hospital for the whole province.
Say it louder for the people in the back. God, I love that. Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Harry, for coming onto the podcast today. I really appreciate it. You have enlightened us all.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. No, the masses are not uneducated. The masses are correct.
Hell yeah. I love that. If you were to give any advice to anyone who was thinking about, like, running for exec next time, what is a quick advice that you'd give them on?
Catch a coffee with a member of the current executive next year. Knock on their door and talk to them. And I think you'll get more educated about the issues going on. Like, again, I don't want to extend this too far, but like paid placement, which I made a post on the campaign, going into it, I had no idea what that was.
Right.
But I had to talk to Irfan to learn about it. We all have this limited experience, but just talking to people, you grow so dramatically. So you just talk to a member of the executive next year.
We're all a member of a community, right? We're not individuals. So we learn from each other and we all make mistakes, but we all, it's part of life, I think, to make stumbles, to, say the wrong thing at times, but to learn and grow from it.
Yeah.
That is awesome. Thank you so
much,
Harry.
Thank you very much.
Is there anything that you'd like to, give like a shout out to anyone or any causes?
I'd like to shout out the very noble work of Southern Young Labour, I think so. But also dear friends of mine who do key work. I think one that comes to mind is Brent Caldwell and the work he does with the local Buddhist groups.
Love Brent.
And recently a chappie on Facebook called Tyler Proctor did some incredible work raising money for a worthy cause. I can't recall it off the top of my head, but it's awesome. Recent on their Facebook.
Amazing. Awesome. All right. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming in and tuning in and listening to us. Yap on about politics, university, and real life.
Hope we didn't bore you.
That was honestly so interesting. Even if they were bored, I'm not bored, Harry. You got me.
One vote.
One vote, yes. All right, as usual, guys, please pay attention to what's going on out there in the world. Right now, there's a ceasefire going on in Palestine, but that doesn't mean the fight is over yet. Israel has continued to break their promises, and people are still dying. So continue to boycott, stay strong, and that is to boycott Coca-Cola, McDonald's, Starbucks, and Disney, I believe. Awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Before I head off, I wanted to promote, speaking of votings and things like that, the Listener's Choice Awards are concluding at the end of this month, so this Friday. If you guys could, you know, head on over and vote for Thoughts and Theories to be, you know, your choice for the Best ORFM, you know, podcast, it would be great. But I actually have a script to read for you guys. Listener's Choice Award. What's your favorite program or podcast on ORFM? Vote now in the Listener's Choice category of ORFM's Air Awards and be in to win a $50 gift card. Go to oar.org.nz and click on the link to Listener's Choice or call into the station on floor 2, 43 Princess Street to fill in a short form. Let us know your choice and be in to win. Voting closes at 5 p.m. on October 31st. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all for joining me today on Thoughts and Theories. I hope you've learned something new or taken away something to think about. I hope to see you all next time. Till then, this has been Thoughts and Theories with Asha Amma Asri.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.